Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
The 371st edition of the Four Corners Podcast starts right now.
This is the Four Corners Podcast.
I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I've said that. To be in Chapel Hill, to be at the University of North Carolina.
We win! 54-53, North Carolina did it! North Carolina wins the championship!
With 20 seconds left to play, goes back to Michael Jordan, jumper from out on the left, good! Right way to Worthy! Worthy 5! The Tar Heels are going to win the national championship!
Weber, front court, Carolina with foul. He takes the timeout. Technical foul on Michigan. They're out of timeout.
Front court. Williams on the drive. Gets it back out to him. Long outside shot. Short rebounded. May. It's over. Carolina has won the national championship. 89-72. And how about them Tar Heels? They are the national champion.
I've been the luckiest coach in the world.
Pump fake for three. Too strong on the shot. That's it. The Tar Heels are the national daggum champion.
Carolina has been tested and tried and been proven successful through all the years. And the way that we will play will be the Carolina way.
My love for North Carolina, I mean, I love this school, I love these fans, and I love everything about it, and I would die for this school, I really would.
Here are your hosts, Josh Marlowe and Anthony Pagnotta.
Hello and welcome into another live edition of the Four Corners Podcast, coming to you on a Saturday morning, a little over 7 hours before Carolina will face off against Michigan State in the second round of the NCAA tournament in Charlotte, with a spot in the Sweet 16 on the line. We were there on Thursday in person, and we will be back later today for the two games in Charlotte to close out the NCAA tournament, returning to the Queen City for the first time in 6 years. But we're going to focus on the game with Michigan State today, and a game that figures to be one of the better second-round matchups of the entire tournament. You've got two premier programs, two teams that are used to playing in the tournament, used to playing meaningful games this time of the year, and it figures to be a fun matchup. So we will tell you everything you need to know about Michigan State, look at the game from the Carolina perspective, give our keys to the game, pick the game, and so much more. But we start every edition of the pod, as we always do, with the pod thought of the day. And this time of the year, it's the same, because when Carolina does these three things and they do them well, they typically win. And it's the foundation and the calling card of the program. So the pod thought of the day is to simply play hard, play smart, play together, something that we saw Carolina do well on Thursday in their blowout win over Wagner. They shot over 50% from the field, 50% from three, dominated the glass. Virtually every area of the box score, Carolina was the better team, as you would expect them to be going up in the 1-16 matchup. And the goal, the challenge, and the hope is that Carolina replicates that same level of playing smart, playing hard, and playing together this afternoon against Michigan State.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is that they talked about it a lot in the post game. You got to get off to a better start, because they felt like they were sluggish out of the gate. This is a Michigan State team that will make you pay if you start off slow, if you start out sloppy. Like we saw at times in that first half, turnovers, I think, are the biggest thing for Carolina that they've got to be aware of today. But yeah, I mean, I think for them, you know, it was the first tournament game for pretty much everybody except for Armando and RJ. So I think being on that stage, you could see it at times early in the game. And then, you know, we saw it a little bit early in that second half. where Wagner would hang around. I think in this game, if Carolina's got a lead where they can sort of lengthen it out, I'm not going to say completely put the game away, because I don't know if it'll get to that point that it did the other day against Wagner. I mean, look, if it wants to, then feel free. But I think if they get the opportunity to put some distance between them and Michigan State, they have to do it, because we saw Michigan State in person the other day. The one thing that, you know, even when you were looking at them, you know, going into the tournament and researching their matchup against Mississippi State and potentially the matchup that Carolina would face, you know, this is a team that has guards that can heat up and knock down shots from the outside. And that's the one thing that, you know, for Carolina, they've got to take away today. But we'll see. I think confidence-wise, Carolina should feel pretty good going into this game. I know people are trying to say that Tom Izzo, this is his month. It's amazing. I mean, look, I guess maybe this is his month. Maybe he has had enough success here, because he sure as hell hasn't had a ton of success when he's gotten to the month of April. So, but the thing is that in recent years, I mean, it just hasn't been the same. So I get it. I know that there are probably some Tar Heel fans that are worried about Tom Izzo being on the other sideline, because he has had a lot of success in the month of March during his career. But if you look at the recent past, this sets up where Carolina, it could be a tough matchup, but Carolina has a good chance to advance on to the second weekend today in Charlotte.
Now let's look at the matchup from the Michigan State perspective. They bring with them a 20-14 record. They were 10-10 in the Big Ten in the regular season. In a lot of people's minds, they were overseeded by A, making the field, B, making the field as safely as they did. But I think they validated that with the way that they played on Thursday, blowing out a Mississippi State team that everybody thought had the makings to make a deep tournament run. They were in and out of the tournament in less than 2 hours. I believe it was Izzo's 17th NCAA tournament win as the higher seed, something he's got a reputation of doing. And he'll look to do that once again today, being the 9th seed, going up against Carolina, who's obviously a 1. They have 4 players that average double-figure scoring. Tyson Walker leads them at 18.2 points, 2.9 rebounds, 2.9 assists. He shoots 45% from the field, 38% from 3. Malik Hall, second on the team, was scoring 12.5 points, 5.6 rebounds, 1.9 assists. He shoots 52% from the field, 35% from 3. A.J. Hogard, 10.9 points, 3.1 rebounds, 5.3 assists. He shoots 42% from the field, 34% from 3. LeJayne Atkins, 10.4 points, 3.9 rebounds, 1.2 assists. He shoots 41% from the field, 36% from 3. If you can remember, this team was a preseason top 5 team in the country. They lost on opening night to James Madison, a James Madison team that beat Wisconsin last night in the NCAA tournament. And a lot of people think we'll give Duke a game in their second round matchup on Sunday afternoon. But after that loss, they just never really seemed to recover, never really seemed to play to that level that everyone expected them to play in the preseason. But you saw a glimpse of what they are capable of being with the way they played on Thursday. And, this will be a fun matchup. Two teams that want to run, two teams that want to play in the open court, but two very good defensive teams. Carolina is 7th in KenPom according to defensive rating. Michigan State is 6th at 93.1. And that's points per 100 possessions. So, you look up and down this Michigan State team, it's easy to see why they were a top 5 unit in the preseason. A, talented. B, experienced. C, you got a Hall of Fame head coach on the sidelines. It didn't come to fruition from November into February. But the thing about this sport, the beautiful part about it, is you can erase all of that with a run in March. We were seeing that with what NC State's done in the ACC. they won 5 games in 5 days to make the field. They'll play for a spot in the Sweet 16 later today. And while Michigan State didn't have a historic run in their conference tournament, they win today. They're in the second weekend of the tournament, something that we all thought was probably likely when we look back at the beginning of the season. And we're looking at teams to monitor as potential threats to win a national championship.
Yeah, and I mean, with the type of guard play that they have, I don't think it would be shocking, because we've talked about that so much over the years about how important guard play is this time of year. And the thing is you're going to have to figure out, and we'll probably know pretty quickly, was what we saw the other day, was that something that is sustainable for this group, where all of these guards are going to play well at the same time? Because the notion that I got from a lot of the Michigan State people is that this is not something that's happened very often this year. It was something that they expected to happen, but really it's been, each guy sort of has their moments, and it's never really come together for them consistently enough where this team can really, put together the type of victories that you talked about. I mean, look, coming in, there was reasons to doubt this group. I mean, they had lost 5 of their last 7, including 3 to teams that did not make the tournament field. So they were not playing great basketball. But this is a team that, as you said, it's all about making a run here in a 6-game stretch. And for them, it may not even be 6 games. But, I mean, with where they were at towards the end of the season, I mean, they may look at it as I'm not going to say we're playing with house money, because it is Michigan State. There is an expectation there. But I feel like in their minds, they were doubted from the word go. And, people thought going in, including myself, that Mississippi State would be able to beat them. They shut down both of their best players. I mean, Hubbard, was solid, but wasn't nearly able to take over the game like he did a couple of times during the SEC tournament. They gave Tolu Smith a ton of fits inside. And so that's the thing. I mean, they take away a scoring guard, or limit a scoring guard, and they completely eliminated a big man out of the game. And if they can do the same thing to Carolina, I mean, it's going to make it extremely tough. I think Carolina definitely has more support around RJ Davis and Armando Bacot, even though, as we said coming into the tournament, that was the area that we were, concerned about and wanted to see guys step up. Mississippi State, it was really those two guys. If those two guys didn't play well, then you knew that they weren't going to be able to win the game. So, I mean, for Carolina, it would put them in a tough spot. And, Michigan State has the talent to be able to do that. So, for Carolina, they have to bring the right mindset into this game, and they need to start this game with energy, because Michigan State, I mean, they're coming in knowing that they're going to be doubted, and I would expect Tom Izzo to have his group fired up.
Yeah, you're right. They're going to play with an edge, and they're going to play with the toughness that, Carolina isn't, has seen so far, and I've seen throughout the season. But, everything's just different this time of the year. That sense of urgency goes to a different level. The physicality goes to a different level. I think it's why this game has the makings of maybe being the best game of the day. There's just a really good shot where when we get done watching the 8 games we have on the docket tonight, probably about 1:30, 2 a.m. Sunday morning, because that's what time the tournament comes to an end now, we'll be looking back and saying that this might have been the best game on the docket. When you look at this game from Carolina's perspective, they bring in with them a 28-7 record. They, of course, went 17-3 in the ACC regular season. They advanced to the second round of the tournament, of course, after they blew out Wagner on Thursday. Hubert Davis is now 2-0 in the first round, and he's 6-1 as Carolina's head coach. So picking up where he left off from his mentor, Roy Williams, not losing in the first round, and of course, that lone loss coming in the championship game. But, the bigger the game, the bigger the stage. Hubert Davis has proven to be a coach worthy enough up for the challenge. You look at Carolina's double figure scores. They're led by RJ Davis and his 21.4 points per game, 3.7 rebounds, 3.5 assists. He shoots 44% from the field, 41% from three. Armando Bacot, 14.3 points, 10.3 rebounds, 1.5 assists. He's shooting 55% from the field. Harrison Ingram, 12.1 points, 8.9 rebounds, 2.1 assists. He shoots 43% from the field, 37% from three. And Cormac Ryan, 11.3 points, 2.8 rebounds, 1.3 assists. He shoots 38% from the field, 34% from three. And, of course, we all know Carolina's rebounding prowess inside the top 10 as a rebounding team in all of college basketball, something we'll talk about later today. I do want to talk about, you know, the history and the track record that Carolina has against Michigan State, because that'll be a storyline that'll be talked about in this, you know, during the broadcast. Carolina is 12-4 all time against Sparty, including 5-0 in the NCAA tournament. This is the first time they've met in the Big Dance since 2009, when Carolina throttled them 89-72 in the national championship game back at Ford Field. And, you know, there's always been that one reputation about Izzo, is that, you know, he was always good against this conference, but, you know, couldn't beat Coach K, couldn't beat Roy Williams. Now he gets a crack at trying to beat Carolina and Hubert Davis. And, you know, I think it's going to be fun to see how this thing ultimately plays out. You know, being 5-0 against Michigan State in the NCAA tournament is nothing to scoff at. But, you know, there's some other stats that go into this game as well, where Michigan State is 0-2 all time against number one seeds in the second round. And then Carolina has won 22 of their last 23 games against teams that are seeded ninth or worse in the field. So basically what I'm saying is either Carolina's going to keep doing what they're doing, or something has to give, and Michigan State finally breaks a long losing streak against Carolina in the tournament and earns their first win against a one seed in the second round of the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, look, and it'll be brought up multiple times on the broadcast because it's a legitimate thing. And for Tom Izzo, it spans, you know, multiple coaches. You go back, the first loss was in the 1998 Sweet 16. And the other thing that's real damning about it is that not only is he 0-4 against Carolina, but he's lost each one of those games by 14 or more points. So the games have not really been close. You know, look, they haven't played Carolina in the NCAA tournament since 2009. So in his mind, he's probably not even really worried about that. I mean, somebody's probably brought the stat up to him, but this is completely different. I mean, it's 15 years later. So, you know, for Carolina, I think you can't really worry about that. And I don't think they will. I don't think Hubert Davis cares about that stat because, you know, for him, he wasn't a guy that was involved in any way in any of those moments. He's worried about his team right now. And, you know, I think, you know, for Carolina, I mean, this team that's on the other side, like, I mean, I don't know how to feel about where Michigan State is at. I mean, this isn't nearly as good of a team as, you know, some of the ones that Carolina faced along the way. Certainly not the one that Carolina faced the last time that they matched up. But at the same time, I think, you know, this is a team that, you know, for the Spartans, it's been a while. It's been a while since they've been able to make a deep run, and they've got a lot of talent. It's a veteran group. That's the other part of it that I don't think people were really looking at coming in, including myself. But that's got to be a factor here. So Carolina, I mean, look, yeah, they're an experienced group. This is one of those games where they are going to have, you know, a team on the other side that's going to have just as much experience, really, as they do. You know, their top three players, top three scorers are all seniors and guys that have been there a long time. Jaden Akins, a junior as well. So just a lot of experience for this group that Carolina is going to have to contend with. But yeah, I mean, if you're a Carolina fan and you're feeling a little bit hesitant going into today, the one thing that you can really take away from the games in the past is that Carolina has always dominated against Michigan State. And that stat that you read off there at the end, the success that Carolina has had against lower seeds, I mean, we've seen it, double-digit seeds, that is. We've seen it. I mean, every year, Carolina, whenever they get into these matchups with double-digit seeds, which is becoming more and more common here in recent years, just like it has throughout all of college basketball, everybody always wants to say, well, you know, Carolina, this could be the moment where they slip up. We heard it against St. Peter's. We heard that Carolina, you know, this is a Cinderella team. Is this team just destined? Can Carolina really handle the type of pace that St. Peter's is going to want to play? And Carolina left no doubt in that game. This is another game where I think Carolina's probably hearing the fact that people are doubting them again. Because there are people that after the other day are saying, yeah, this Michigan State team looks like that, you know, that nine seed that could potentially pull the upset and take out the one seed in the first weekend. And so I think Carolina is going to use that as motivation on top of the fact that they don't feel like they played great the other day. And so I think that could make for, you know, a great situation for Carolina coming in, the perfect stew against a team in Michigan State that's also going to be motivated by the fact that people didn't think that they should be in the field.
Another thing that is important is this game is being played in Charlotte, where Carolina all-time is 167-27. In Spectrum Center, they're 17-2. In NCAA tournament games in the Queen City, Carolina's 13-1. That lone loss to Texas A&M back in 2018. And Carolina is 35-2. In NCAA tournament games played in the state of North Carolina, they're 13-1 in Charlotte, 7-0 in Greensboro, 9-1 in Raleigh, and 6-0 in Winston-Salem. So we've set the scene for what figures to be a fantastic game later today, this afternoon, in Spectrum Center between Carolina and Michigan State. We come back, we'll dive more into the matchup, give our keys to the game, and pick the game, and all that fun stuff. But before we do any of that, we got to get you a quick word from one of our partners.
Hey there, Josh here for the Autograph Fandom app. Want to get rewarded for listening to our show? The team at Autograph, co-founded by Tom Brady, is redefining the fan experience by letting users earn points for the acts of fandom they take every day, like listening to this show. The Autograph Fandom app gives you access to your favorite UNC content in one place and offers rewards like tickets, exclusive merchandise, and much more. You're already listening to our show, but now you can earn points and get rewarded for it. Head over to the Apple App Store and search for Autograph Fandom Rewarded and download it today for free using the referral code HEALTUFF. Link and code are also in our podcast description.
We encourage you guys to visit the Apple App Store, download the Autograph Fandom Rewarded app, use that promo code HEALTUFF, and literally get rewarded for being a fan. Help us help you, and we appreciate all the support that you have shown us this season, both on the football side and, of course, during what's been a fun and successful basketball season. So back into Carolina and Michigan State. You know, going into the field and going into the tournament, we got the bracket. I think this was the game that we wanted. I knew that. I feel like Carolina matched up better with Michigan State. You know, I saw the level of physicality that Mississippi State brought to the table. They have a great young guard in Josh Hubbard, and a big that could do a lot of different things in Tolo Smith, and didn't want to see that team. And we're not going to see that team because they got boat raced out of Charlotte to open up the NCAA tournament. So, you know, we were there in person. We saw what Michigan State did to Mississippi State. We got to see it up close and personal. After seeing what they did to Mississippi State on Thursday afternoon. Are we sure that this is still the best matchup for Carolina to advance into the second weekend?
Probably not. Mississippi State probably would have been a little bit of a better matchup just because of the fact that I don't think we thought that Mississippi State was going to look. I mean, that was a group that looked tired. That was a group that looked worn down. And I mean, I get it. I mean, they played in the semifinals of the SEC tournament, but I'm honestly shocked that they looked the way that they did. And if they would have if they would have found a way to win that game, you would have felt pretty confident about where Carolina was at going into that one. But ultimately, and I think, you know, 8-2-8 Lawson brings up a great point here. You know, Carolina, it's not about the best matchup. I actually clicked the wrong comment at first. It's not about the best matchup for Carolina. It's really about Carolina playing their game because here's the thing. I don't think that either one of those teams would have created enough of a matchup nightmare against Carolina that you would have said, okay, this is probably enough for them to beat the Tar Heels. Because, look, the thing is they don't have more depth than Carolina does. They don't have the talent that Carolina does. The biggest thing for Carolina in this game is that – I think one area where they don't match up nearly as well as Mississippi State does is down low. They're a team that, you know, look, the 2-point field goal percentage that opponents have had against them is really, really good for Michigan State. They've been great defensively there for most of the season. But we saw the other day that really when Tolu Smith could handle the ball inside, that was the biggest problem for Mississippi State the other day was they could not hold on to the basketball. When he could handle the ball inside, he was able to finish inside. They don't have the type of defensive presence inside that it feels like, you know, going back to some of the teams that Carolina faced in the NCAA tournament previously, and even the ones that Carolina matched up with during the regular season after that, it doesn't feel like they have those same type of guys inside. It feels like, again, the game plan should be very similar to what we saw from Carolina against Wagner. Put the ball inside and make them prove that they can stop you because this is just a team that hasn't shown that. They didn't do it during conference play in the Big Ten. And, you know, I think that Carolina probably poses as big of a threat, if not a bigger threat than anybody in the Big Ten on the inside. So I think that's the thing is that Carolina, yeah, is this ultimately probably the best matchup that they could have had? Looking at it, I mean, look, Josh Hubbard, really good player, one of the better scoring guards in the country, but he was a smaller guard. And Tolu Smith, you know, a really good big. But I think, you know, you look at the array of guys that Michigan State has in the backcourt that can shoot the three, that can get hot at times. We probably should have been a little more weary of that. But the other thing is that it's very, very possible. We've seen it many times before. And these 8-9 matchups with teams that are pretty evenly matched, and I think we saw the other day, I mean, for the most part, early in the game, it was two teams that were very evenly matched. When they get to that second round, it's just not the same when they have to face a team that has done the things, has proved throughout the season that they are a number one seed like Carolina has. So I think that's certainly something to look for today. But, I think at this point you face who's in front of you, and we can't be looking back and saying that Carolina, we wish they would have gotten a matchup against Mississippi State, because if we would have wished that, it probably would have been that Mississippi State ended up playing the game of their lives and they would have been coming in here feeling hot, having us feel the same way.
Yeah, there's no doubt this isn't the best matchup for Carolina. I think they match up better with Mississippi State. You got a veteran team, an experienced team, a backcourt that can score it. And so I think that's a big reason why Carolina's only a 3.5-point favorite according to ESPN Bet. And it's why a lot of pundits around the country will expect – A, Michigan State to give Carolina a game, and B, we'll pick them to beat Carolina. And look, I see the comment from the 828. It's not about the best matchup. Yeah, it's March. It's all about matchups, and it's all about styles of play and how you you know, fit with that and how you don't. I think one thing that'll help is Michigan State wants to run. They want to get the game out in the open court. And we've seen this Carolina team this year, when teams have tried to run with them, they can't. You know, Tennessee learned the hard way. Duke tried to run with Carolina. And this is a team that, when this offense really gets in the open court, it really goes to another gear, as traditionally it has under Carolina, because their secondary break is traditionally the best offensive option for them as a team. And usually in all of college basketball, we've seen that at different points in the season. So let's get into our keys to the game before we pick the game. Another theme about March is guard play. And they've got a great guard in Tyson Walker. We've got a great guard in R.J. Davis. But it's really going to be about which backcourt collectively has the better game. And I think if we're being honest here, you're probably more confident in Michigan State's backcourt, just because, you know, Elliott Cadeau's coming off a goose egg against Wagner, where he literally admitted publicly he thought that he played terrible, and he's really struggled since the Florida State last week in the ACC tournament. You know, Seth Trimble, if he, you know, I think he can defensively impact the game. He's Carolina's best individual perimeter defender. But this feels like a game that, when he's on the court, if there's offense there for him to create and there's shots there for him to take, he's got to make them. And he's got to be willing to take them. He had some looks the other day in a game that got lopsided deep in the second half, where he wasn't willing to let it fly, and which shows you that he's not confident in his shot. It feels like this is going to be a game where, you know, RJ is probably going to get his. I think Cormac is going to give you something. I mean, if he wants to give you a 31 like he did against Duke, go right ahead, big fella. We're not going to complain, but he hasn't really built off of that performance. But this has to be a game where Elliott Cadeau bounces back. He's a difference maker. He's not a liability for you, and you need Seth Trimble to contribute, because this is a backcourt. I think they have three guys that average double-figure scoring. They all played at a high level the other day, and they'll be looking to build off of their performance from Thursday. So the theme of March is matchups and guard play, and feels like whichever backcourt has the better game today gives them the early advantage in trying to determine who ultimately wins the game.
Yeah, I mean, and look, I think when it comes to Cadeau, I mean, you would hope that he bounces back from today, but I think, yeah, it's just a combination of him and Trimble just giving you something, because the other day they really didn't give you anything. I mean, Trimble wasn't bad offensively, but he only shot the ball three times. And you're right, there were multiple times where he had good looks and would pass it up, and a possession would end up empty. So I think that's one of the things that, you know, it's going to be hard to correct in season, but you hope that at some point maybe he hits a couple of shots that sort of give him that confidence that he needs. But really, yeah, it's going to be on RJ and Cormac to bring it today. Those two guys have to play at an extremely high level. You need help on the perimeter from Harrison Ingram. And I think one of the things to watch out for today is that, you know, if they do struggle again, if both Trimble and Cadeau aren't giving you what you need offensively, and if Jalen Withers is playing well again today, that lineup could be out there more, where you see, you know, RJ and Cormac in the backcourt. You have your wing guy in Ingram, and then you have Withers and Armando Bacot down low. It's something we've seen a little bit more as the year has gone along, but not really that often. I think, you know, what we saw the other day against Wagner, if that can work for consistent stretches, then you might see it. But I would not expect Cadeau to have that bad of a game again. I think, you know, we've seen before when he's had these moments where he's been outwardly frustrated with himself, he's been able to bounce back. Now, this isn't a certainty because it's been a few games in a row now where he has not played well. And so you just wonder if he's hitting a funk at the worst time that you possibly can. But I think, you know, if he can find a way to get to the basket and finish the looks that he has inside, that's really what threw him off the other day, was he had another good look after driving to the rim and just missed it. If he can find a way to finish, you know, a couple of easy ones early, it could settle him into a rhythm. And yeah, look, of course you're fearful of what you saw from Tyson Walker and the guys in that backcourt the other day for Michigan State. But the thing is that it's weird. You look at them coming into the game the other day. I mean, they were 270th in made field goals per game on the season. Even three-point attempts. They weren't an aggressive three-point team. Just 322nd in three-point attempts per game at a little under 18. Now, the thing is they're incredibly efficient when they shoot it, but it felt like yesterday that – it felt like Thursday. It feels like it was yesterday because these days have been so long. But it felt like on Thursday they really settled into a rhythm and started going to it, but that hasn't really been their game. It's really been trying to get the ball to the basket and drive the rim. So – I mean, that's the thing. Carolina's got to be aware of that, that this is, you know, you don't have to overcorrect because of a team that shot as well as they did in that first game. But also, I mean, look, if this is a team that comes out hot, you got to start getting creative in some of the things that you do. And that's where a guy like Seth Trimble, you know, has to step up. If he's not going to have the effect on the offensive end, well, then you better have a great day defensively when you're on the floor and help shut down this group of guards. But yeah, this is probably the one area that you look at and you might be the most concerned because of how veteran these guys are and the fact that they have shown throughout the season at different periods that each one of them have the capability of taking over games.
Second key, you got to control the glass. Carolina's like +7 statistically on the glass when you look at this matchup. You know, Carolina among one of the top 10 best rebounding teams in the country. And a big reason why is that, Michigan State does not have, a lot of big size down low. This is one of the smaller Tom Izzo teams, I think, in the front court that we've seen because they're really so guard driven and rely so much on what they do. But, Carolina pummeled Wagner on the glass. A big reason why was Armando Bacot and Jalen Withers both posted double-digit rebounding totals in the game. I think it's fair to expect that from Mondo. Unfair to expect that from Withers off the bench. This has to be a game that Ingram and Bacot control the glass. And the other day, Ingram didn't have to be nowhere near the rebounding guy that he's been at different points this year because, I mean, when Mondo was on the court, it felt like every rebound was going to him. But, those two guys have figured to play probably north of 34, 35, probably 36 minutes in this game. And they've got to be relentless in going after the ball. Second chance points and second chance offense, I think, are going to be a big part of this game. If you can wear them down whenever you get into by getting offensive rebounds, I think that would go a long way for you winning this game. Both teams are going to want to go up and down the court, so I don't think it's necessarily about doing it because they want to control tempo. I think this game is just going to be played the way both teams want to play it because they both want to play fast. But this is where you wear down opponents, and this is where that size and that length is why you like being big and you like being long is for games like this. And so I think Armando feels like you get in the month of March, he turns into a different guy. He was dominant the other night. I think he'll be looking to be dominant once again this afternoon, and he'll need someone running with him. And I think if him and Ingram can control the glass the way they've controlled for the majority of the season, it goes a long way for Carolina trying to find a way to win this game.
Yeah, and the thing about it is that with Ingram, You know, we saw the other day, I mean, Michigan State likes to play basically four around one. So it's going to be hard for him, I think, to grab a ton of rebounds. This is where you hope that he shows up on the offensive glass. You know, sort of what we saw in that game against Florida State to start off the ACC tournament, where he had five offensive rebounds, because offensive rebounds were there the other day. But you're right. Armando was just cleaning up so many of them. Jalen Withers got in there and was cleaning up so many of them that there weren't a ton of opportunities. But the biggest thing is that you just want to see that level of aggression. And I'm not saying that it's disappeared. We just haven't seen it as consistently here these last few games from him on the glass. And if the opportunities present themselves, you want him to come away with those rebounds against a team in Michigan State that is not a great rebounding team. I mean, they average a little over 34 per game. So this is a matchup that favors Carolina heavily. You said you wouldn't expect to see the type of performance from Jalen Withers that you did. And, yeah, I get it, because he's a guy that's been coming off the bench. He's been rather inconsistent. I will say this, though. Something that's really interesting about him, there's two stats that I've looked at. First of all, you look at his recent play. And hit four out of the last five games, he's had at least six rebounds or more. And the thing was, is that before the game the other day, he was doing it in games where he played 11 minutes against NC State, had six rebounds. 10 minutes against Pittsburgh, only had four rebounds in that one, but two of them were on the offensive glass. And then Florida State, seven rebounds in 14 minutes. You jump up to 21 minutes played the other day, because he was playing as well as he was, and he has 10 rebounds. Four of them are on the offensive glass. And you look at, you know, the games throughout the season where he's played 20 or more minutes, and that's been some of his best rebounding games. First game that he played 22 minutes in to start the season, it was against Northern Iowa, actually, in the first game of the Battle for Atlantis. He had four rebounds in that game. But since then, he has had seven or more rebounds in each of the three games that he's played over 20 minutes. So if we get into a similar situation today where Carolina feels like he's playing well enough, let's keep him on the floor. He's shown that when he's out there, and especially the way that he's playing right now, where he's playing confidently, he is a guy that can affect the game on the glass. So I wouldn't sleep on him having another day like we've seen him have here recently, where he is a guy that has a really big presence on the glass. But again, it's all about getting to some of those long rebounds, because this is a team that is so guard oriented. At times this year, Carolina hasn't been great at that, despite how good of a rebounding team they are. But that's where you need to see not only a guy like Harrison Ingram, a guy like Jalen Withers show up, but your guards also have to rebound well today. I expect Armando to get his on the inside, because this is the NCAA tournament, and that's just the point that we've gotten to with him. But if the other guys show up and rebound at a pretty high level as well, this is not a Michigan State team that's shown you that they can compete on the glass, and that could be a really huge difference for Carolina in this game.
Last key of the game, I think turnovers are going to be a big part of mm-hmm. who wins. You know, both teams weren't happy with some of the turnovers that they committed in their opening round wins on Thursday. There was, there were some by Elliot Cadeau that were mind-boggling, and the kind of turnovers that you could survive against Wagner. You can't survive against Michigan State, but there were some Michigan State turnovers, and Izzo and their players talked about it publicly, where they didn't play the cleanest game. and Michigan State averages just a little over 10 turnovers per game, or a little over 9 per game. You round it up to 10. So they've done a very good job, you know, valuing possessions, and you know, that's at a premium this time of the year. I think points off the turnovers could be one of the big swing stats in this game. And so, I think for Carolina, expect the ball to be in RJ Davis's hands a lot more often, because you just trust a fourth-year player that's played in this stage. If this game is close late, but on the flip side, man, you got to get after this Michigan State team, because They showed the other day that they can be loosey-goosey with the ball. And so expect, you know, I think Carolina should press, try to get them sped up early going. I think you're going to see a lot of Seth Trimble just applying pressure in the backcourt. And Carolina's ball denial has got to be as good as it's been all season long. And they really got to be active and in the passing lanes. If this is a game that Carolina turns it over 12, 13, 14 times – and Michigan State scores 22 points off of turnovers, really hard to see you win the game. Mm-hmm. Conversely, if you force 10, 11, 12 turnovers and you score 18, 20, 22 points, it further increases your chances of winning the game. And so I think this is something to monitor as this game moves or as the game moves along. Whichever team values the basketball the best and limits turnovers, I think as much as any other thing in the game, really gives them a chance to win in advance of the second weekend.
Yeah, I mean, look, how could it not after what we saw the other day? Because, yeah, there were times where both teams were a little bit sloppy with the basketball. Michigan State probably a little bit more than Carolina. But, I mean, yeah, the thing is that they were playing a tougher opponent. They were playing a really good defensive team. But you look at, you know, what you pointed out is that this is a team that hasn't been a common theme for them for most of the year. So for Carolina, it's about being aggressive and trying to force these turnovers. Now, you don't want to take too many risks and leave yourself susceptible. But we've seen that when Carolina has really wanted to turn things up, even in the half court, they are really good at getting in the passing lanes, at getting their hands on a lot of the balls that are trying to go, especially in the paint. I mean, we saw it as the game, as the season went along, even in games where Carolina didn't play great defensively, a la the game against Miami. Carolina was competing for everything on the inside. It was just that outside, they weren't able to slow Miami's guards down. So I think that this is a team that, even though Carolina hasn't created a ton of turnovers this season, and to be honest with you, it is a little bit mind-blowing that they haven't created more, because I feel like that's an area where Carolina, it feels like they've done a good job. I mean, they only average creating 10.6 a game, which is, you know, just – I mean, it's like 298th in the country, somewhere in that range. It's shocking, though, because I feel like Carolina has still had moments where they've done a good job of denying the ball. So that's the thing. You got to be cautiously aggressive, but get your hands in those passing lanes, because you've done such a good job with that this season. And the thing is that the guys that turned the ball over the other day for them, I mean, they were veteran guys. Malik Hall, 5 turnovers in the game. A.J. Hogard, who I believe actually invented the game of basketball with James Naismith, he turned the ball over 5 times. So, you know, Carolina, I mean, that's the thing, is if they're going to be loose with the ball again, you have to be able to take advantage of it. And that's the other thing, is that that's where a guy like, you know, but really both guys that we talked about that are struggling, but especially Seth Trimble, that's where he can get himself going, is if he can be aggressive, create those turnovers and get out in space. He's a guy that we know just about better than any guard on this team, does a great job of controlling the tempo and pushing the floor. So I think that's one of the things that Carolina wants to do, because, yeah, that would create that up and down game. Michigan State likes to play that way. But the thing is that Carolina is more than capable of playing that way and probably can play it a little bit better than Michigan State. So, but most importantly, I think even, you know, forcing the turnovers is one thing. You've got to take care of the ball yourself. You know, Elliott Cadeau's been struggling down the stretch of the season, but that's where some of these other guys that, you know, could play significant minutes, that's where having that lineup with Withers and Ingram on the floor at the same time and allowing the veteran guards of R.J. Davis and Cormac Ryan to be the guys that handle the ball the majority of the time could come in handy at certain points of the game. I think those are things to watch for today, because, you know, Carolina just cannot afford to give this Michigan State team a ton of opportunities, because they showed you the other day against Mississippi State, they can make teams pay that do that.
Carolina has a 63.6% chance to win the game, according to ESPN's matchup predictor. And they're a 3.5-point favorite, according to ESPN Bet. Who wins the game and why?
I think Carolina wins the game. Again, I'm staying away from the over-under because at this point, you know, I did it during the ACC tournament. It didn't work. But I think Carolina wins the game. I think, look, it will be a tough matchup because I think Michigan State is going to come in here confident. We've seen it before. That's the thing about the tournament is that when you have a first-round performance like they did, because you play so quickly again, you get a day to rest, but it's not enough to throw you out of rhythm. Teams can have a strong weekend where guys just remain hot from the first game. And I think, you know, look, Tyson Walker's a guy that's scored the ball, I mean, all season long. I mean, he averages over 18 a game. He will be ready for this matchup. He will score it at a high level. But I think R.J. Davis will be ready as well. Both of these guys, you know, they played together in New York. They know each other, and they played against each other in high school. So they're going to be motivated to really show out against each other. So I think both of those guys will play well. But you're right. One of the biggest things is who wins the matchup of the guards. And for Carolina, I think it's about limiting those guys for Michigan State. I think they'll be able to do that. I think Michigan State won't be nearly as hot as they were from the outside the other day. And I think the biggest thing is that Carolina, I feel like, has the advantage inside and will really be able to attack Michigan State there. I think that's where you'll see Armando Bacot go to work. Again, NCAA tournament Armando is a different beast. I think we'll see that again today. And I do think that you will see Jalen Withers continue to play well. He's started to play well as the season has wore along. Again, in terms of the production, especially offensively, I don't know if you should expect that from him, but I think he'll rebound at an incredibly high level again in this one. I think you'll see Harrison Ingram rebound well in this one for Carolina. I feel like they'll dominate the interior. That'll be the difference in this game, and I think Carolina ends up getting the win and moving on to the second weekend in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I think Carolina wins. I think the way they talked about the win the other day, they talked about it almost as if it was a loss,
mm-hmm.
and that they got to play better. And you know, they've been as disrespected a number one seed in the tournament, maybe in the last decade. And I think they've taken that personally. I think it adds a chip to their shoulder. And Armando Bacot, R.J. Davis didn't come back to lose in the second round. And they sure as crap didn't come back to lose in the second round in front of their fans.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think having, you know, the large Tar Heel contingent will play a role in this game. I think it'll give Carolina a little bit more life, a little bit more energy. But I think Carolina has the two best players on the floor in this game, in Bacot and R.J. I think they build off of what they did individually Thursday. They play at a high level. You get the role players to play their roles the way that they're capable of doing. And I think Carolina earns a massive win over Michigan State to move to the second round of the NCAA tournament and take one step closer to getting back to the Final Four. So that game will come your way 5:30 on CBS. We'll be there in person, and we'll have you covered after the game on the Heel Tough blog website, where you can go and read the preview for today's game. I got up and wrote that first thing this morning. So go and read a little bit more about the matchup with Michigan State. Of course, after the game, we'll have you covered as well, no matter if Carolina wins and advances or loses and their seasons come to an end. We want you to make the Heel Tough blog website your home for the best NCAA tournament coverage. As for the podcast, do want to apologize for some issues yesterday getting the Wagner recap delivered to you. There was an issue with Apple, but it appears that we got that corrected. So the Wagner recap should be in your inbox, as well as Anthony had the chance after the game on Thursday to be at R.J. Davis's a stand-up press conference. So we were able to give you that nugget of audio as well. As I mentioned, that should be corrected. But if you don't know where to find us, you can find us on every major podcasting platform. Simply search the Four Corners Podcast and we will pop up. We're there. We do encourage you guys to rate, review, and subscribe. That way you don't miss any editions of the show throughout the remainder of the basketball basketball season. Well, with that, guys, it is going to wrap up this edition of the show. Do want to thank Anthony once again for hosting with me. We want to thank you guys for listening. And as always, go Tar Heels.
Guys, it just doesn't get any sweeter than that.